Welcome to the Paranormal Pendle Podcast, coming to you from the heart of Pendle Witch Country in the northwest of England. My name is Craig Bryant, author, investigator and collector of stories. Join me as we take a journey into the paranormal, UFO sightings, cryptozoology and big cats. This is the Paranormal Pendle Podcast. Hello, so welcome to episode 48 of Paranormal Pendle, broadcasting to the Paranormal Radio Network at paukradio.com. And I'm delighted that my guest has agreed to go on video with me. A pair of more handsome gentlemen you could Mick McLaren, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. I think we've both suffering from cough, so if we cough, the listeners and the viewers will just have to put up with it.
Yeah.
It's been a while. I'm going to say it's been a while since we spoke. I think it's been about 2 years, actually.
Well, I think I was number five.
You were indeed, yeah, a long, long time ago. Winterhill Investigation Team still going strong.
It is, yeah.
You've obviously been doing a lot of investigations since we last spoke, so I want to get into them with you shortly. But for people who don't know where Winterhill is, whereabouts in the UK are you?
Right, we're north from Manchester. Winterhill is barrowed with Blackburn and Darwin, Bolton, Charlie, and Preston in a distance, but that's where we are. We're central to all these towns and cities.
Okay. So, Bolton, this is the big question. Greater Manchester or Lancashire?
Well, yeah. I would say Lancashire.
Wow.
Unfortunately, my postcode is Greater Manchester, but I still put Lancashire.
Okay.
When I fill things out and I still get post. So I would say Lancashire for myself.
So old habits die hard then.
Yes.
So what's the area like then? Because Winterhill's quite a bleak, windswept area, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's quite high up. You've got like moorland around that's really boggy, especially this time of year, you know. At the moment, we've had nothing but rain. So when I go up there, I've got wellies on or boots, and I still get wet up to my knees.
Yeah.
You know, it's really bad. In fact, the other last weekend, I was out, and I stepped in what I thought was a puddle, and it went right down to my shins.
God.
And I ended up getting stuck there and sort of wiggling my way back out of this puddle. So it is quite harsh this time of year. In summer, it's not too bad. Mm. But you've got the moorland, and then like that's high up where the hill is, and then you go further down. You've got like reservoirs and sort of like wooded areas.
Yeah.
You nearly said forests then, but they're not big enough to be a forest, but they are big forests. The reservoirs going through them.
Yeah.
With this hill poking up.
So it's quite a sort of diverse landscape then.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, like I say, in summer, it's lovely. You get walkers out there, you know, people on the bikes. You know, it's a well-used place until the sun goes down.
And then it becomes a completely different sort of
definitely,
place.
Definitely, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the investigation team then, the Winterhill investigation team, when did that start? How did it start? How did you get into all this, Mick?
Well, I was working on a case where we were having sheep deaths. And at the time that was happening, I was getting other reports of other things happening, UFOs, paranormal, you know, like ghost apparitions, even things like an antlered man going around one of the areas down there. So not only was I looking into this case, which I at the time was under the impression, and I say that was under the impression of it being a big cat. Mm. Now, it sort of coincides with something else, because we're getting sightings of other things being dogmen, and we're getting sightings of big cats. Now, the sheep killings, when we were up there at this time, there was a lot going on, and I decided to put a little team together. And not many of us. At that time, there was four. We became quite good friends, and we went out together and did the investigations together. As time's gone on, we've got more and more equipment. It's down to three now, but we're still out there with the equipment. You know, like we've got infrared cameras. We have thermal cameras. So we're using all high-tech stuff.
Yeah.
At the beginning, we weren't. It was torches and going around there and infrared binoculars. But as time's gone on, we've got more and more equipment to help us while we're out and about.
And right at the beginning then, you were. I remember you talking about a carcass that you found way back when you first started investigating what was going on up there.
Yeah, well, I interviewed two lads who came across this carcass who were up there one evening having a walk, and one of them stepped into it. Now, they were walking without torches at that time. It mustn't have been that dark. And one of them stepped in somewhat, looked down, and they saw like a sheep that had been had its stomach open. You know, it seemed as though its ribs had been prized open as well. Oh. And it was that fresh, it was still steaming.
Oh,
now, these lads, like at this point, they were looking around and they saw the sheep on top of a small hill, like an incline going up. And they were like huddled around. And one of them said they looked terrified. They looked as though they just wanted to get together. They had torches on them, and one of the lads put the torch up, and as he put it up and he skimmed the area, he said he saw a pair of red eye shine, and he quickly moved back. You know, it was like torch on it, saw the eye shine, moved away, and then back again, and it was gone. But he saw something moving down into the reeds up there, which, as you know, on a moorland, these reeds are maybe a foot high.
Yeah.
And this got down there, and then they got growled at. And at that point, they went down to the road, and as they were going down the road, whatever this was that growled at them, it was moving from one side of the road to the other. Now, on each side of the road is barbed wire fencing. And it's a proper road that goes up to the mast up at the top of Winter Hill. There's a television mast up there.
That's right, yeah.
As they were going towards her van, this thing was sort of like, must have been jumping over the fencing to get into the field on the other side, go down, growl at them, jump back over onto the road, onto the other side of the fence on the other side. And it followed them down until they got to the cars and disappeared.
So how high is the fence, roughly?
I'd say it's about just over a metre and a half.
Right, so it's a fair-sized animal then that's just jumping.
Yeah. And it were doing it without, and it, you know, it was so smooth as it were doing it. Said it was, you know, just springing from one side to the other.
So I suspect then that they were quite shaken up when they encountered this.
Well, definitely, yeah. One of them, he didn't go up there again. I don't know if he's been up there again, because they've moved on since. So I don't see him anymore. But I do know at the time he spoke to me about it, and then he got a bit bothered about speaking to me, excuse me, about it. And he ended up sort of going on his own, and the other fella, like I was talking to him more about what was going on. Excuse me.
Right. So the interesting thing about that, of course, is the colour of the eyes that they mentioned, because if it was a big cat, you wouldn't expect it to be red eyes, would you?
You wouldn't, no. No, definitely not, because with cats, you've got a sort of like greenish eye shine, or a yellowish eye shine.
Yeah, or
And
even.
we don't have anything in this country that's red eye shine.
No.
There are in other countries. We've got owls that have red eyes, but not in this country. So there's nothing in this country with red eye shine.
So that sort of piqued your interest then, with regards to what's going on up there. And so that's been quite a few years now, hasn't it?
That actually happened on the 25th of October 2019.
Right. Okay. So we've had a few years in between. So how's the investigation progressed then?
Well, it died out in 2020 in February, after us coming across 11 sheep that had all been killed in the same way, not only on that field but a field further over, we sort of like it died down after that, and nothing happened. We tried talking to the farmers who, as you know, they just don't want anything to do with anything like this. So they just turn around and say, oh, it's a dog, and leave it at that, and that's it. Excuse me. So from there onwards, we've been up there looking around. We've been going up there early mornings, late at night, even having campouts in the wooded areas where there's been other sightings. It's not just only looking into the big cat or what most people say. There's the Beast of Bolton, which is a big cat that has been sighted in and around Bolton.
Right.
And then there's this one item, the Beast of Winter Hill, which I think is more of a dogman type creature, because I've had two reports now, maybe three, where they've actually seen this thing, one, you know, a couple of meters in front of them, and another one on the other side of a wall.
Right. So who were the people that saw this?
We have a paranormal group who went to a place called Liverpool Castle, which is down in Rivington at the bottom of Winter Hill. There's a reservoir with this, it's a folly of a castle that Lord Leveume had made to look like a castle from Liverpool. That's why it's called Liverpool Castle.
Okay.
And they'd gone down there. You get a lot of paranormal investigators going down there and seeing what sort of activity they can conjure up. And they'd gone down there without anything happening that night. But on the way back, they bumped into this thing. What had happened is two of them were in on scooters, you know, the mobility scooters.
Okay.
Because you can get to Liverpool. The ground's a bit harsh, but you can actually get to the castle.
Right.
If you go on a scooter. And on the way back, they went along a path which was woods on one side and then a line of woods with a field on the other side. And they were going along here. And one of them got a little bit stuck because, like I said about the mud and the paths up there, they're not very well kept, especially that time. Mm-hmm. And what one of the fellas came back to help him and give him a push. Now, he came down and said he had a funny feeling about the place. He'd picked up this energy that just wasn't right. One of the ladies who was on the scooter, said she heard panting coming from behind her. And she thought, oh, you know, it's another dog walker. You know, this time when this was happening, it was just twilight. So they were trying to get back to the cars before it went fully down. So they thought, yeah, another dog walker walking past, we'll move to one side. But as they moved to one side and turned around, they saw this Alsatian-looking dog-man type creature stood up on two legs, looking around a tree. and watching them. And this sort of terrified them. And they were like trying to get out of there quickly. Now, the fellow who'd helped them to get out of this puddle had moved on by then. So there were only the two of them. The younger one, who was quite, you know, she was absolutely terrified, and it seemed to pinpoint her. And I think it was because there was more fear coming from her. And they said it moved down on all fours and ran as they were going along. It ran from tree to tree, following them, not doing anything. It just followed them. So it'd stand at a tree as they were going on. It would get down on all fours, go to the next tree, and sort of like lift itself up and watch them until they got to the end. Now, when they got to the end of this path, they felt the atmosphere just suddenly change. And as they turned around, it wasn't there.
Right. So it wasn't, for want of a better word, it wasn't an Alsatian type dog, or
you know, because like when they said when it was stood up, you could see the muscle in its arms. It didn't have front legs as a dog would. It had arms and hands. So they even spoke about the color of it as well. It was gray around the neck.
Okay. So has this been seen on more than one occasion, or was this just a sort of one off?
Well, there's been another witness who came forward who actually saw it in 2019. He was coming, he was dropping his child off at a school around there near Rivington.
Right.
And he was driving down in a van. Now, there's a wall that runs along where he was coming down, and because he was in a van, he could see over this wall. Now, his son, who was a bit further down, you know, because it was a nursery school, so he was lower down. So he didn't see this, luckily enough. But he said as he was going down past this wall and he looked over, he said it was only about 2 or 3 seconds that he saw this thing. And he said it was like a bulldog with a small back end, massive arms, like massive front end.
Yeah.
He said it was really weird looking as well. You know, it shook him up a bit. And he said it just padded from one side of the field right to the other. And when I asked him about the size of it, he said, you know, you're talking about the size of a cow.
Right.
And the width of a small Renault, I think he said at the time.
Right.
He said it was massive, and he just saw it running down. And he looked at his son sort of thing, and he looked at it, and he didn't want to say anything to his son. He didn't want to frighten him.
No.
But that was 2019, at the same time as we're having these sheep kills as well.
Right. Did you think that was possibly the same or a different sighting to the first one that you mentioned?
I think it was the same creature because it was just on the opposite side of this reservoir.
Yeah.
Which isn't, you know, it's not even half a mile, reservoir. You know, it in the middle, it's not half a mile, but, you know, you're talking about a mile long.
So do you think it has a territory then? Do you think it's that sort of area where it...
Well, I think it could have, or it were passing through.
Yeah.
Or are we seeing something that could be almost interdimensional? I'm unsure.
I was going to ask you about that, actually. Yeah, about whether or not you thought it was possibly moving in and out rather than it being sort of...
Well, I believe... I think more of that when it comes to this dogman sighting, especially the first one, because the atmosphere, they explain it as being in a bubble as well. Okay. You know, a bubble of quiet, of silence.
Right.
And everything was sort of happening to them in that small bubble at that time. Mm. But it's in that end of that path, the bird stare, you know, the what you would hear it in summer at the end of the night, evening, as the sun's going down, all the noise.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, isn't it? Because you get a lot of people who have UFO experiences also talk about a similar phenomena where they are just in a bubble of absolute quiet. They can't hear anything at all, apart from the noise that whatever the craft or whatever it is they've seen's making. So
yeah.
I mean, are there a lot of either UFO sightings up there as well? Do you think the two could possibly be linked?
Well, yeah, I do think they do. I think it's a place of high strangeness.
Oh.
And there's a lot of strange things going on there. I do get UFO sightings, paranormal sightings, Dogman, Bigfoot, not far away from there. Oh. I follow this green corridor, which you've got Winterhill in the middle, and it goes over towards Wigan. Going to the east and then northeast, you've got Blackburn and going towards Pendle and you. And, you know, these sightings of Bigfoot are on either side of Winterhill from that.
You've got me worried now, mate.
Yeah, I think they're on the way to you.
I think they probably are. No, it's funny, actually, because there haven't been sightings as such that I'm aware of, although I stand corrected if there have been sightings. I'm sure there have. But I know there's been possible big cat sightings in the area around here. And obviously going over towards Tomerton as well. I mean, there was the one a few years ago that made the national news. The one that Albert came across the carcass. So Tomerton, not only is it UFO central, but it seems to be big cat central as well. So, I mean, these animals must have a big range. It's as simple as that, because they obviously need a big range to be able to hunt in, don't they?
Well, I do know they can, but they don't, but they can go up to about 30 miles.
Mm.
And it's usually about 15 miles that they do as a territory. The one around Bolton, I think it stays within the green corridor around Bolton itself. And I do believe it's that one that has been up around Winterhill.
Right.
And I think with that happening in 2019, I think it was that.
Mm.
Because this... it gets spotted. Since 2000, it's been spotted so many times around the outskirts of Bolton.
Right.
We've got Falworth, so that's the south side of Bolton. And then we've got up in Winterhill where I'm looking into it. Just recently, there's been a sighting, or a so-called sighting, where somebody took a video of it.
Oh.
Now, I went up to the area where this happened.
Mm.
This was in a few local papers. And as I looked around the area and I sort of like looked at the video and found out where it was, when I looked at the, I mean, it looks convincing when you look at it. But when you're actually there and you see the height of the tufted grass that it's next to, you see that it's only a few inches off the ground.
Right.
So it's a domestic cat. Yeah.
Yes. But sometimes perspective can play tricks, can't it?
Definitely, yeah.
Distance, you know, so there have been quite a lot of photographs, aren't there, over the years from all over where they're obviously smaller cats, domestic cats. I mean, even feral domestic cats, if you know what I mean. You know, your sort of tabby sized cat that could be feral. But then again, I am a great believer in the fact that there are some bigger cats out there.
I will say that there is 100%, because a month ago I actually saw.
Okay.
Not where I'm looking in as well in the area. It was I'd say about 2 seconds of a glimpse at it. We were going in the car. Around this wooded area, we were actually heading over to look at the sighting where this had been put in the newspaper.
Okay.
And this video had been put online, and as we were going down, all of a sudden, I noticed You know the light-coloured tubings they put around saplings as a grow?
Yeah.
I noticed that out at corner of my eye, and I thought, you know, like as we were driving along, and as we got round and the trees started moving out and it became more open, I saw it stood there looking towards this tree line.
Right.
And at the time, they were my partner and another lad with me. You probably know him, Arlum, from I Talk Cryptids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was with me at the time, and I just sort of like started shouting, stop the car, you know, and I got out, jumped over this little stream and went round. As I got there, I noticed it had gone, but I went down towards the stream thinking it might go that way towards its wooded area. Arlum went the other way and went up, but we never spotted it. But what we did come across was the back end of a deer that was left there. So at the moment, for the past four weeks now, I've been up there. I've been looking around the area. I've been documenting. I've got trail cameras up there. I did swap the memory card over in one and get nothing. There was just me going there, putting the camera up, and me coming picking it up. So I need to move that one now and put it somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I'm active in that area at the moment where I saw that. So 100%, yeah, I would say there's big cats in the UK.
Have you picked up any tracks then up there of anything that you think's particularly weird?
In that area, not yet, no, but you're talking an area of a wooded area, which is about a mile squared.
Right.
And you've got moorland on either side. The water sources, you know, there's ponds up there, there's all sorts, but it's like I said, like when we're saying it, you know, it's taking me a month to patch out one little area. I've got loads to do now. It can take me up to 2 months to do it. If doing it on my own,
yeah,
with a team, we're going to be going to different areas and looking, you know, having an area to look into while someone's looking somewhere else until we eventually do that and find something there.
Yeah. So have there been any sightings then of the Beast of Bolton? Any sort of verified sightings over the years?
Yeah, we've got. Sorry, you'll have to just bear with me a minute.
Oh, you're all right.
Because I've got it here somewhere. Yeah. So when it started in 2000, it was seen. We've had 11 reported sightings of it, and these are all newspaper sightings where people have come forward. So I don't know if there's other. I mean, I've not been to the newspaper with my sighting. So I take it we've had more than 11.
Yeah. Plus, you tend to find the newspapers are a bit sort of glib, aren't they, about these types?
Yeah. I mean, you've got, you know, like
they don't take it seriously.
Yeah, they talk about it, and then they just give it the little bit out, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, we've got names and we've got where these places are. And like I said, it looks as though, you know, it's from there to 2017 where we've had these 11 sightings. Mm. And then all of a sudden that disappears.
Right.
And then I think that's why 2017 onwards, around Winter Hill, that's where it's been. Mm. I think it's found a place where it's away from people.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it keeps itself to itself.
Yeah, or perhaps it's a different one. Maybe there was a family group. Maybe one's
perhaps, perhaps breeding. Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, you're going to have a breeding population, aren't you? Because these sort of sightings have been all over the country for years, haven't they? Really, going back to, you know, going back to pre-war. So.
Since I've had my sighting, and I've been talking to a few people about it, I've had a lot of people, like, you know, I was talking to Steve Mira about it, and he was saying how he in Salford has seen two walking on the railway lines around them areas. So
I shall question him then, because I'm talking to him next week, so I'll question him about those.
Yeah, yeah. And he was saying, you know, they can move around the railway system. You know, if a train's coming, they'll just get out at where.
Yeah.
And then they'll just carry on. But I think the biggest obstacle really are the roads.
Yeah, yeah. And if they find a food source, then they'll just stay with that, won't they?
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. Well, they're quite... When it comes to food, you know, you'll get them eating even small things like rodents and living off rodents and that. And you do hear of places, you know, like every so often where there's cats missing and dogs are missing, and, you know, because they will feed on other cats and dogs.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's many a time where I let our dogs out at night and I actually go and stand out there with a torch because I don't 100% feel safe out here, because, you know, it's quite rural out here, and, you know, we're fairly close to Pendle Hill, and there's been sightings and you know, audible growls and you know, cat screams and all sorts of stuff that could very easily be, you know, be a large cat or a population of large.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm same here. We've got Winthrop, and we've got all the flat fields around it, sort of thing. And then where I am, in 2019, I don't know if you've heard of the app called I think it's called Nextdoor,
right?
And it's like a Facebook app, and it's a local app.
Right.
And you sort of like go onto your area and you can see what's going on around your area. Right. And in 2019, I was seeing about six or seven people saying that the cats had gone missing.
Oh, right. Okay.
And it was at the time I was looking into this as well. And it was making me wonder, well, you know, is this the same thing? Mm. Because where Winterill is, I'm only at the bottom. You know, there is. You sort of come out of my doorway and walk across the road and follow that road up, and you're on the moors.
Yeah.
You know, so it could easily, and they have been known to come down to areas where people are.
And take domestic animals.
Food and domestic animals, yeah, you know, going in bins.
Yeah, yeah. People blame foxes, but they might not necessarily be.
No, true.
Foxes are doing it. What about UFOs then? What sort of sightings have been in and around the area? Because, like you said, there may well be a sort of correlation between the two.
The latest one was actually a video that was sent to me, and it was lights over a canopy of trees, and it was in the shape of a triangle over these trees. It was foggy. And they stood there for about half an hour taking this video. Well, no, they stood there for half an hour. Then they decided to take a video of about a minute long,
right,
which is on my YouTube channel as well. sorry, I've got a tickle again. And they got this video of these lights over this canopy. I've been around the area as well myself, looking around that area, and I've gone behind the canopy of the trees to see whether the land rises higher, you know, in case it was someone up there with a high torch beam. But it's all flat, and the area where it is, you can't get to. There's no public pathways going to it. It's, you know, like just proper moorland where you can't get behind. Now, when I got this and I put it up on my channel, I went up there looking around the area. Somebody else got in touch with me and said, what one evening while they were jogging an area just on the other side, you got where that happened, you got the canopy of trees, and then you got an hill that goes down and then over to a place called Tockles and Darwin. You've got Darwin Tower, which is a monument on top of this hill. And then further down there, you have a little reservoir. and they were running down this this road, jogging in that area.
Yeah.
And the fellow got in touch with me. He said what had happened was his friend was talking to him as he was running around, running down this area, and he says, don't laugh at me, but me and my other friend were running down here, and we saw a craft coming out of this reservoir, hovering for a second, and then it shot off towards Winter Hill. Right. Now, when you look at that, and you look at where these lights were and where this reservoir off and going towards Winter Hill, you're on this path that takes you from the reservoir to this canopy of trees where these lights were seen. This happened not at the same time. It happened quite a while before. But I'm thinking if there's something in this area coming out of this reservoir and it's going in that direction, perhaps this is what she caught on the camera.
Yeah. So it actually came out of the water, did it?
Yeah. Yeah, he said it came out. It hovered for just a second.
Yeah.
And then it just shot off really quick.
And it wasn't sort of marsh gas or any sort
I can't imagine around there because we're not far from the Darwin, the town itself.
Right.
It's a road that goes in you there at the reservoir.
Yeah.
I can't imagine any marsh gas. You know, he said it was a craft.
Right.
And not only that, when we went up there, we went looking around the area. When I get these reports, I'll go up during the day and I'll go at night as well, hoping to see something really. but when we went up there in the evening, we had this strange feeling that someone was watching us. And I don't know yourself, you pick up on these as though there's someone there watching you.
Yeah.
And it was only for about 10, 15 minutes, but there was that feeling that there was someone watching. But when we went back to the same area, it completely gone and everything. We're back to normal.
Yeah. Tockholes is an area, as you said, just outside Blackburn. It's on the edge of Blackburn and Bolton, really, isn't it? It's quite sort of rural. I do seem to remember a fairly famous UFO sighting on a farm in that area.
Yeah, that's Yeah.
Was it early 1980s, I think, something like that?
89, was it?
89, yeah.
I think around that time, yeah, yeah. Hey, it's funny you should mention that because we're saying that this is in the same area of Murphy's Farm.
Right, okay.
Of the Murphy case, really. It's not Murphy's Farm. He was a fireman at the time who, I think he went out, didn't he, and he saw a UFO around the cattle.
That's right, yeah, yeah. And then he legged it back into the farmhouse, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And then if you talk to Steve about this, he'll tell you that this Murphy and his family completely disappeared, and there's no trace of them. We don't know where they've gone. But in that exact area, I've had quite a few sightings within that. I think I spoke about it last time we were on about the lights that were seen in the woods and little alien beings around a triangle craft.
All right, okay.
That somebody had seen when they were going past that area. Since that, I've had a phantom black dog that stepped out into the road, out of that farm area.
Right.
They thought they'd knocked it over. They didn't hear a bang, but they thought they'd knocked it over. They got out of the car, had a look round. Car was okay, but she did say, because she was a passenger in the car, it was her husband who was driving, and she said the look of this dog didn't seem natural.
Right.
It just didn't look right at all. She wouldn't want to see it ever again.
Mm.
But it sort of appeared from nowhere, stepped in front of the car. They thought they'd hit it, And they actually went into the wooded area to have a look round to see whether it had gone but no, nothing of that came about that.
So that was a spectral dog as opposed to a sort of physical dog man. Well,
she thought it was physical.
Right.
But it just disappeared.
Oh.
As it stepped out in front of the car, like I said, there was no bang, but she thought she'd hit it, and it was just not there.
And did she describe it in any similar way to the sightings that you talked about before, about the sort of straight...
No, that's it. She didn't. No, it was...
she just thought it was a dog, in effect.
Yeah. Imagine a Doberman, but twice as big and twice as wide.
Right.
A face that almost looks intelligent, you know, like as though it knew what it were doing.
Mm. I suppose if she only sort of got a very quick glimpse of it, it would be difficult to sort of describe it in detail, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So it could have been the same.
It could have been, but yeah, I mean, it has been known to just disappear, hasn't it? You know, the one over at Liverpool Castle, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they turned around and it was gone.
So, any other UFO sightings in the area?
Well, when I was looking into that case, I went into that actual area to look around and I came across a couple of wild campers.
Okay.
Who was sort of like, we did find a footprint and it was quite large. I don't know whether it was a soil, because you know with a dog print, it is a soil. If it's so soft, it will expand it to make it look bigger than what it was. Yeah. But when I took the measurements and I looked back, it was the same size as what it was described as a direwolf size footprint. But again, it could have been the expansion of the soil. And I was going to go back and get a plaster of Paris of this, but because it's a well-treaded area, there were footprints in there. But as we went in there, we came across these wild campers who said one evening they were in there and they were just sat around the fire having something to eat, and a set of lights just came over the canopy of the trees. Very slow, no noise, but it just went over and sort of went into towards Winter Hill.
Right.
I asked them, what did they do? You know, did you not go looking? Did you not take any photos or anything like that? And they said, no, we just carried on eating, but it was just strange that it was so quiet and it just went over top of them.
It's strange, isn't it, then, that it didn't pique their interest a bit more?
Well, yeah. I mean, you get some people out there. I go around there a lot. And if I'm out there with my equipment or if I'm filming or doing anything in that area and people take an interest or come over and talk to me, you know, the usual, what are you doing or why are you doing it sort of thing. And then I'll explain, you know, what I do, give them the details, ask them about, you know, if they've had anything strange happening to them. And you'll get I get a lot of stories back that way. You know, it's quite good getting out there and getting these first-hand witness accounts from people who just said it blew come out with it. They tell you about it, what happened. You can see the sincere. They just go away and, you know, like you separate and carry on doing what you're doing. Within the area, Tockles, when I'm out there, there's quite a lot of walkers in that area. So right. And tell us a few things.
Yeah, yeah. So sort of big cat sightings or weirder things than that, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, a lot of UFO sightings, lights. I've had one where there was a... another wild camper who was out there who ended up packing up and going on because he said he they were like shadow men watching him around her trees.
Right.
One minute they'd be in one part of the area, and then the next, you know, as he looks to another area, they're there. Just shadows and just disappearing in front of his eyes.
What about Rivington Pike? That's had quite a lot of UFO sightings, hasn't it, over the years?
Yeah, I had one fellow who got in touch with me who'd been up, he were up there when he was a kid, about five, and he with his older brother and his dad. His mum had been in hospital, Blackburn Hospital, and on the way over, the dad had taken him for a ride up near the pike, and they got out of the car and had a walk round. And as they were walking to from the pike up towards Winter Hill itself, towards a mast, should I say, he said he and his brother and his father, who was a military, he was in the military at the time, said that this craft came along, sort of like stopped and hovered for a bit. He said he was about the same size as a Volkswagen Beetle.
Right.
And it just shot off. And he always remembers at that early age, his father turning around to him and says, whatever you talk about this in the future, remember that you actually did see it and don't take any notice of what other people are going to say about it.
So do you think, why do you think it's such a hotbed of activity then around that area? Do you think the radio masts have got anything to do with it?
It could be the radio mast. It could be the quartz underneath the ground, because there's a lot of quartz around there.
Right.
And there's a lot of mines under there as well. So if you've got, we know we use quartz in watches and we actually use it within the electrical stuff.
Yeah.
And when it's compressed so much, it'll give off a bit of energy.
Mm.
So if you've got quartz underneath there and you've got a mine that's going to collapse on top of that, it's going to pressurize it, and you're going to get some sort of energy from it.
Yeah.
Not only that, we've got areas, the sacred sites over there with ley lines running through, which I believe help towards this area. We have one not far on the north side of Winter Hill, over on in the Anglesark area, which is going towards Chorley. We have an area there called Roundloaf, which is an old burial mound.
Right.
Neolithic burial mound. It's never been excavated, but looking into that area, I've found that we've got over 20 different ley lines coming from that area, going through all these areas. And from there, we've got it going through Winter Hill and through the actual field where all the sheep carcasses were found as well.
Okay. No, that's interesting. So you think there could be lines of energy which are sort of converging on the area, and that's what's causing all of this this weirdness going on.
I believe so, yeah, because on the opposite side where we were just talking about with the Murphy's case and the things that I've had around there, we've got that from Roundloaf. We've got another line going straight through that area.
Right. So how
we've got two going through.
How come it's never been excavated, that area, then? Have you any idea why?
I think it's the area it's actually in. It's very, very hard to get to. It's so boggy. There is a few paths going to it, which at this time of year is hard to get to. In summer, it's fine. If they were gonna excavate the area, I think the best time, really, would be in summer. Not far from there, we've got another one, another burial area called Pike Stones.
Right.
Is a long barrow, which is one of the only long barrows outside of the Cotswolds, for some reason, is up here, right there in that area.
That's interesting, because there is a Neolithic burial site right on the top of Pendle Hill.
Yeah, there is, isn't there? Yeah, yeah.
Which I always find really weird.
Yeah, and you've got two lines, well, more than about three lines going through Pendle Hill, haven't you?
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
what the class is, the Spine of Albion line going through it.
That's which right. Goes through
Cliverall, is it? And then you've got another one which goes through the centre, and then you've got the one that goes from the east coast to the west coast.
Yeah, Yeah, and they intersect all around.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, Pendle Hill. Yeah, I just find it strange that you know they would carry a body up, you know, a very steep sided hill, for you know it's probably, well it's 2,000 feet above sea level, so it's high up, just to bury a body up there. So it was either somebody who was really important, or it's a really important site, you know.
Yeah, I think the importance of these what could have been tribe leaders at the time, like I said, with Angles Arc, you've got Tockles at the other side of Angles Arc, where Renwolf is, and sometimes I do think whether Renwolf has something to do with a chieftain who was maybe buried there, called Tock, because we have in a churchyard over there, there's a stone called Tock Stone, which is to an old chieftain or king at the time around the Tockles area. Now, Tock would have been his name. Mm. In the area it is in, it's like an own, so it would have been Tockles.
Right, got you.
His area, and that could have been his burial mound. Mm. That could be the important point where he is. But for all these ley lines go into this area, you know, he must have been a well-known chieftain at the time to be buried in that area.
Yeah, so there must be something to do then with energy, or the special significance, the importance of the area. Which is all sort of adding up to what's going on around there at the minute.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's been going on quite a long time. I mean, before I even started doing my research around Winter Hill, you had Steve Mirror doing his research around there.
Yeah.
You had Chris Turner going out there doing his research around the area. Before us, I don't know, there might have been other people doing that, you know. Because there's cases going back up to the 1950s around that area.
So sightings of strange creatures or UFOs or both?
Well, there was one on the west side of Winter Hill, near the pike itself, and there's an house there called the Sportsman's Cottage. It used to be a pub,
right?
A lot, you know, in the 1800s, and it was well known for being really rowdy, and it ended up closing down. Right. And this is in the middle of nowhere, so I don't know who these rowdy makers were.
Was it on a sort of like a pack horse road or something like that?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was what I think was one of the main roads going from Belmont over to Rivington at one time.
So like coaching in, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, in 1950, an ex-policeman retired from the police force in Liverpool ended up buying it and moving into that house. And his son actually got in touch with a fellow who was writing a book on the area called Dave Lane, and it's called The Winter Hill Scrapbook. And he wrote a letter to say that he remembers when he was a child, his grandfather, who was this policeman, moved into that with his wife, and he was staying over. And he said he remembers waking up in the morning and his grandfather turning around, telling him to pack his stuff up. They packed their own case up and they left and went back to Liverpool, because that when he went to the toilet during the night, he looked out the window and saw something that frightened him that much. He left the area.
But he never said what it was he'd say.
He ended up passing on and never passing, you know, like telling what had happened.
Wow. So it could have been anything.
It could have been, yeah.
But obviously enough to frighten the willies out of him.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. So where can people, because you've got a YouTube channel, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, I've got a YouTube channel and a website, both Mick McLaren. The website's mickmclaren.com. If you go onto there, it'll take you to all the social media and everything that's out there.
Yeah. And I'm just looking at your YouTube channel on my other screen over here. Plenty of stuff on there, some really interesting videos. Big cat sighted on Anglezark Moor.
Yeah, that's an interesting
That's
one.
interesting.
That was a fellow who got in touch with me, and he's a photographer, and this was in 2012, and he went up there to do a bit of photography after working at really early in the morning, and he was taking photos, turned around and saw this Black Panther just looking at him, give him a quick growl or grunt, and walked off.
Right. Interesting. There's not a right lot you can say to that, really. I would imagine that will be quite a shock if you turn around and saw something like that early in the morning. Well, that's brilliant. So you've got your YouTube channel and your website. I just urge people to go along and have a look because there's some really interesting videos on there. I'm just having a quick look at your YouTube now, and I had a look at it last night, and there's some really interesting videos on there. So keep up the good work, Mick. It's a fascinating subject. It's a really interesting area, and I'm sure that there will be more stuff happening in future, and hopefully you'll get some really good evidence going forward.
Yeah, hopefully we will. And we don't only do Winterill at the moment. We do spread out, so we end up going here, up and down the country. I'm in Somerset in the summer. I'm going to a conference there, but I'm meeting up with a few people who I've been like sort of talking to about a case I'm working on in Kendal,
All right.
a big cat case up there.
Right. What's going on in Somerset? Is there any sightings down there in Somerset you're looking into?
I mean, there's a young lad who's doing this conference who came across some DNA evidence of a Bigfoot, which has been put in the newspaper,
Okay.
saying that it's I think it was 99.9% monkey,
All right, okay. All right, interesting that. So like a sort of gorilla type. Interesting. Right, well, it's been brilliant talking to you, Mick. Thanks very much. Thanks for coming on. Like I say, I urge people to go and have a look at your YouTube channel and your website. Good luck with your investigations going forward.
Thanks, and it's been a pleasure talking.
No worries. Thanks, Mick. Take care.
You too. See you later.
You can visit my website at www.craigbryant.co.uk. Paranormal Pendle will return, and remember to keep watching the shadows.